Welcome to the story of Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop. This is Chapter 8, Class Project. This is a shorter episode to take a kind of a breather. I'm the author, Ray Debicki. I'm really happy to read this story to you today. Millie's friends want to remind you they're around. You can join Millie Salmon on Patreon or find out more at milliesalmon.com. And you can follow this podcast and other stories on social media at Infinite Shop Limited. Chapter 8, Class Project. The ringing bell made Millie bounce out of her desk. She was a little engulfed in her book. A painfully efficient family of wealthy Swiss castaways did nothing for her when Dad gave her the book to read a couple years before. It surprised her how involved she got in their island plight now. She cleared her desk into her bag and got in the line filing out the door between Pats and Reggie. Reggie shouldered Pats. "You gotta catch up on this book, man." "Stupid, stupid, stupid," Pats repeated. "You or the book?" Reggie asked. Pats snorted. "Both." Reggie sighed. "Pick one, stupid, and work on it. You just have to read the book. She's just going to ask the lesson of each chapter was, and they all have lessons, like 8 of them. Pick one." "They're the dumbest lessons. I'm sure boiling whale blubber is useful in my life. Shoemaking. Kidnapping the white girl from another shipwrecked family. Hooray." Millie laughed. "Of course you've read it." "I've read a lot. What's important about this book?" "It's the game, Pats. Dad always said we're in the game, and one that sets the rules wins. That's why he brings Mom in to reset the rules all the time." "I'm not in a game. I'm in school. I'd go out for skee ball if I wanted to be in a game." "Maybe that's the lesson they want you to take from this book. You do what you need to survive." "Wait," Reggie stopped. "What white girl? The mother?" Pats looked at Reggie. "Catch up, man. Catch up." And with that, it was Millie's turn to snort. They walked through the 7th grade hallway. Reggie was mid-story about his brother's adventures. "Like, no joke, someone just left a bowl with 200 pounds of candy on the front step. They took the whole bowl." Pats threw out an objection. "Your brother did not dress up for Halloween." "Of course he did. He's on Broadway. The whole company dressed up, raided the costume closet at the studio for it too. They covered 3/4 of Manhattan between 6 and 9 trick-or-treating. He messaged me before the party started." Reggie took out his phone, which greeted him with no reception. "Stupid school bunker walls." Millie took his phone. "I have some reception. Let me see that." She flipped through to find her hotspot and typed in a long password. "You should have something better now." "Holy crap! You have more than a little reception. I'm going to download the whole internet." Reggie found his photo stream and pulled up his brother's pictures. The photo was mostly indistinguishable, but for the balcony railing and distant stage lights, and the immense exploding piñata. "I'm still calling nonsense." The flow of people led down the main stairs. They turned the corner across the lobby.
"I don't think it's a purse," Millie said. "There are too many pockets. It's a messenger bag. It doesn't look anything like a purse. It's far nicer than lots of purses."
"Pockets don't distinguish a bag from being a purse," Reggie retorted. "Purses can have lots of pockets. The look of it screams purse."
"And you really need to stop saying purse," Pats very slowly emphasized. "Your health will depend on it."
"Please," pleaded Reggie, "listen to us about the purse. It's that I don't want you to throw your back out with that one purse strap. You have enough stuff in the purse to really unbalance your whole spine. A purse will do that."
"Stop saying purse."
The 7th graders left the lobby and moved to the old building where more stairs split. Half students went up. Millie, Pats, and Reggie joined the half headed down.
"Room and Board is starting up their winter game league this week. Today is signups," Millie suggested.
But we're not going anywhere if you're not coming with us, Reggie offered.
Well, maybe I can. I think I'm allowed out. I might even be able to head back to the shop.
Pats looked surprised. They lifted the grounding?
Not specifically. I can try it. I'll just tell Dad and say that we might head over to see if there's anything new.
But everything with them seems fine.
She rested on the word fine. It sat in her head, next to the thoughts of 1,000 people floating in space somewhere.
They filed into the basement and past the music rooms. They fell into line against the wall at the door to the art room. The line thinned as the 8th graders barreled through to the locker rooms. The noise ended and everyone waited for the door to open. The hall clearing bell rang as Mr. Flan flung open the door to let a class of more 8th graders flood the hall at full runs. The 7th graders tucked in again, the noise passed again, and they took their turn into the art room.
"New marking period, new project," Mr. Flan announced. "Pick your groups of 3 to 5.
The boys scooted their chairs closer to Millie, the room sectioned off into groups, and they left the twins Iam and An at the spare table by themselves. Millie waved them over.
"Oh," Reggie half-asked. "Why?" Pats whispered.
"Be nice. Always be nice," Millie reminded.
"But they do twin things," Reggie griped. "Like communicate without talking," Pats hissed. "And finishing each other's thoughts," Reggie finished.
"Get a grip." Mr. Flan distributed sheets of paper and announced the following instructions.
"Everyone on your team does something. Each person gets a sheet, or everyone works on all the pages. I don't care. But everyone does something, and the project is to tell me a story of someone who is out of place. They can go on a journey. Their home can suddenly change. Or they can be magically whisked away to a far planet. Your story, your format, 1 sheet per person in the story. And while you work this week, I will read you one of the greatest fish out of water stories ever, Swiss Family Robinson."
Pats groaned. "Oh, sweet God."
Millie thought the same. There was only one fish out of water story that was really in her head right now, and she was living it. There was nothing she could say about it, though.
The twins broke the table's silence. Ein suggested,
"If it's a story, should we put it together as a comic book?"
"I like that idea," Reggie said. "Millie's the best at sketching everything out, and if we can color and outline what she draws."
Millie didn't want that responsibility. She'd give away too much of all she'd seen. She couldn't breach the shop's secret.
"I'm just along for the ride on this one. I like working with the big group."
"Nonsense," said Reggie. "We just have to figure out a story. What about Flan's suggestion of some way to get to a far-off planet?"
"That would be the last story I want to tell," thought Millie.
"How would we get to a faraway world?" asked Pats.
Reggie smiled. His voice got kind of quiet.
"Maybe there's a special door set in plain sight, one that we use all the time, but it has secret powers. That's a pretty good way to get anywhere in the universe."
"What?" Millie blurted out loud enough to startle the group at the next table.
What do we know about this door?"
It was Pat's turn.
"Some things. It could be a attached to a regular-looking store. That would make it really obvious, and we know its secret is very big and very important and too big for any one person to keep to themselves."
"How?" Millie couldn't finish the question or decide which boy to look at. Either would make her laugh hysterically or cry hysterically. Of course, they had figured it out. They read it on me like a book.
"Thank you," she whispered.
Reggie felt the weight of the moment and decided it lasted long enough. "Oh, anyone can come up with a brilliant idea. Thank you for volunteering to draw. Any objections to a magic door going to Andromeda?" That's pretty far away. I'm and On looked like they were in the dark about part of a conversation for the first time in their lives. I'm spoke up.
That's a little Doctor Who, don't you think?
There's only a few great stories, you know, and it doesn't have to be a phone booth. How about a movie theater ticket booth? That's weird. Is there anything else you want to add, Millie?
Reggie raised his eyebrow. Pats folded his arms and smiled.
No need, Millie said. I just need to catch up.
She smiled at her desk and started sketching across the first, very large sheet.
This was Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop, Chapter 8, Class Project. In the next episode, Millie takes a day with Dad to see what's on the other side of that shop door. Thank you for listening. You can find out more about Millie at milliesalmon.com or join us on Patreon. Please like, subscribe, and leave a review on whichever podcast app you use. Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop is a production of Infinite Shop Limited, which you can follow on all social media platforms. I'm Ray Debicki. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to reading some more for you soon.